somewhere over the rainbow, way up high. There's a place that I've heard of once in a lullaby.
I see you, I know they'll come. They'll be words that finally say how much I've needed someone. Just one look, and then I'll hear those sweet words pour from them. I will be in love with you. I'll be in love with you.
Not much. I'm a little late, and my apologies.
That's okay.
Great. How long would you like to speak for?
As long as it takes to get to know Livingston Taylor.
Ah! All right, Mark.
I think it should be no more than 4 or 5 hours of exploration.
Really?
You know? How are you?
I'm really well, thanks. Just sort of fill me in. Is this a newspaper interview? I'm sorry, I don't have the information in front of me.
Let me check. No, it's going to be in the internet on pmpnetwork.com tonight.
Ah, great. So, that's excellent. Hold on 1 second for me, Mark.
Okay.
Doug, I need to do this interview for a little while.
Livingston Taylor is on hold now. We'll be with us in momentarily. And you will hear the exciting interview with Livingston Taylor, folk legend, and a Massachusetts resident.
Yeah, exactly. Whether he's got any wiggle room.
He's doing two interviews at once.
That would be great.
That's a tough thing to do.
What I would love to do is to come over to...
Let's listen in.
Can you drive me, the problem is that getting over to your shop, I can either drive my plane over or to go with you.
Did he say drive his plane over?
All right, great. But I just need a few minutes here to do my phone interview. All right, that's great. I'm sorry, Mark.
Are you taking a plane somewhere?
Well, no, I have an airplane, and I'm here with a person from the avionics shop. My radios have the name Marconi's initials on them, so they're pretty old. And,
I guess so.
I need to update my radios.
Now, you are from an incredibly musical family, many siblings, all of them somehow involved in music, as far as I know.
Yeah.
What was it like growing up? I assume that it must have been a very musical household. Were your parents very musically inclined?
Yeah, my parents really are musical. My mother, in specific, really is a trained singer, and she really wanted to be able to have a career. Tough for her, tough in the 1940s when she was a younger woman, tough to have that career in those days. Wound up marrying my father, being a homemaker, but was always had her eye on music. And when we were when we started to fall in that direction, we were very much encouraged by both our parents.
Hmm. Now, where did you grow up? Did you grow up in Massachusetts or somewhere else?
Born in Boston, but raised in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Ah.
My father was the dean of the medical school down at Chapel Hill, and so. Where we were in that sort of academic environment, and
And you've become an academic yourself as a professor at Berklee College of Music.
Well, I'm a professor there, and I live at Harvard University. And it's when you see my high school grades, you can see just what a miracle this is. I was not a very studious kid, but I sort of wind up in academia now, Mark, and it. And I love Berklee, and I love teaching, and I live at Harvard and enjoy that very much. So it's really been great.
Now, when you were a teenager, you moved back to Boston, right?
Yeah, basically at the age of 16.
Yeah. So you kind of get attached to the area. Don't you live like in Martha's Vineyard or something like that?
I have a house down on Martha's Vineyard where I have a real swell time. And, you know, I go down and use that to sort of rinse out my brain every now and again, and yeah, the vineyard's great.
Yeah, do you get together with your brother Jim a lot?
James and I are very close, and the answer is I'm on my way to see him play tonight. And you know, James is great, and yes, we do get together a lot.
Now, I am a big fan of your music, and particularly your version of Over the Rainbow. I think is just amazing.
Mm.
I love that. You know, it was my favorite version of it until recently, actually, when Eva Cassidy's came out.
Yeah, I have to tell you, even I like Eva better than me.
Yeah, I just love her. I love her version. It's a shame that she's not with us anymore.
I'm so sorry as well.
Yeah. Now, you got a really interesting gig. You are going to be hosting the Adam and Eve Newport Folk Festival Talent Search Finals.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, they approached me to do the finals, and actually they spoke to me about being a judge, and I really said I didn't want to judge it. I wanted to host it, and I spend so much time listening to students make music. I've listened to literally thousands of Berklee College of Music students playing, and as they've come through my class over the last 14 years. So I have a really clear knowledge of what that spark is. So
yeah.
So I just love the idea that I can be the host of it, and I'm at ease doing that kind of thing. And so they asked me to do it, and I said I'd be delighted to.
That's going to be at Fort Adams Park in Newport on
mm-hmm.
August 5th. And I think the coolest thing is that the winner gets to perform at the Newport Folk Festival, which is, like, legendary.
It is legendary. I have done it myself, and I can tell you it is remarkable fun, Mark.
But you're not going to perform there, though.
Where? At the Newport Folk Festival?
Yeah, this year.
Well, I had another event in Newport. I played at the Waterfront Festival, an event that I've done for many years, and so I get plenty of time to play in Newport.
Well, you're all over the place anyway. On August 7th, you're going to be in Roxbury, New York at Kirkside Park.
Yep.
And on the 19th in Nantucket at the Methodist Church. And
you
then
got
that's
it.
A benefit for the Actors Theater.
Mm-hmm.
On August 21st in Orleans, Mass. At the Eldridge Park. And then on the 28th in Ann Arbor, Michigan at the Arc. So you're all over the place.
I am busier than a Chinese chicken. You got it.
Now, tell us a little bit about the Folk Festival in terms of, you said you played it. How many times have you played that?
Oh, I've played the Newport Folk Festival. I played one time many years ago at the early part of my career, and it was a real watershed for me. It's as you say, it's a legendary event, and there are a couple of events in my career that really stand out when you get as a performer to do them. I was on Dick Clark's American Bandstand a couple of times, and I was on stage at the Newport Folk Festival, and both things are real standouts for me in my career.
You've actually, yeah, it's interesting when you talk about your career, because you're always on the road, you're always touring, and,
mm-hmm.
and you put on a great show. I saw you locally here at the Jewish Community Center in Stoughton a few years back,
yeah.
when I had you on my show before to talk about that.
I remember, Mark. That was
yeah, it's fun, and I love your music. But you've opened for people like Linda Ronstadt and Jimmy Buffett, but Fleetwood Mac, and also like Jethro Tull. I mean, all kinds of different people.
Yeah, well, Jethro Tull and I did many tours together in the early 70s. So, mind you, we're talking 30 years ago.
Mm.
But we toured together. But that was when our music, Tull was really a very folk-based music. And so that worked very well. And then, of course, he went on to basically be able to do arena-level rock and roll. And that attracted a bit more, shall we say, intense audience than my music was attracting. So, yeah, that was a relationship that then diverged. So,
yeah, you know, it's I'm reading your background. I remembered actually when you hosted a pop music show for a while called This Week's Music.
Oh my gosh, sure did.
And yeah, that was
great.
It was a syndicated show. It was a daily show.
It was a daily and a weekly show.
Yeah.
And it didn't last terribly long, but I had a great time doing it.
Yeah, do you like TV? I mean, you also were, as far as I remember, I think you were on a soap opera at one point, too.
I had a couple of stints. Well, you know, what I like to do, Marcus, I like to work. And if somebody offers me something that's sort of an adventure, I love to go for it. The worst you can be is absolutely awful. And if you saw me as Sam Cochran, a reporter, on a soap opera, you would have seen that I was a pretty awful actor. But that notwithstanding, you don't know until you do it.
Now, now the fact that you were on the show was Texas, is that why it's now defunct, or any relation?
I don't think that I brought it down, I don't know.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, you know something, it's interesting because music and acting are very closely related, whether it's making videos or, you know, just being a performer. That's why so many actors cross over and singers cross over and do all different things.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Do you enjoy doing stage?
No, a stage is, I'm on stage all the time, but I'm on stage as a musician, as a player, as a storyteller, as a tunesmith, not as an actor. And, I have very limited stage experience. I've auditioned for a couple of Broadway plays. By the way, I didn't get, so...
but the auditions went really well anyway,
though. I had a great time. Again, every part of it is an adventure.
Yeah.
So.
Now, how many children do you have?
I have no children.
No children, but you've written a couple children's stories, though.
Yeah, you can write a children's book without having any children.
I guess you can.
Once again, I was one myself, so it went pretty easily.
Well, I assume that did you enjoy performing before the kids too? Do you like to do stuff before children?
Yeah. Well, the answer is that I don't do children's shows per se. You know, there are people who do it beautifully, like Tom Chapin, but I don't like in general. My show is for adults, and that's not due to the tawdry nature of the show, although occasionally we can go there too, but it's due to the fact that I like dealing with adults. Not to say I don't like children, but really young children, toddlers don't belong at a show of mine. They're too distracted.
What was it that was the catalyst for you to write Pajamas and Can I Be Good?
I wish I knew. It just showed up.
Really? That's an interesting thing. I mean, it happens, I guess, in music. I guess, you know, sometimes you write a song and it just is in your head.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing with the stories?
I think, yeah, basically it's the same. You have an idea and start writing it down. And if you get through it, good. And if you don't, do something else.
Who taught you to play guitar and piano and banjo
well,
and everything?
Piano, I've taken lessons in many different at different times. I do a lot of vocal training. Guitar, my original guitar teacher was this fellow named James Taylor, and it was so much fun having James show me how to do it. It was terrific.
You know, I guess that one other question that pops into my mind here. I actually had a friend that went through Berkeley. Her name's Ashley Souza. I don't know if you ever had her in your class or not.
I'm not recalling. I've had many. So
yeah, she was there a couple of years ago. Graduated a couple of years ago. But it's amazing with some of these people that come out of Berkeley, because we've had a lot of them on our show, and it's just amazing the talent that goes through that school.
Well, make no mistake, Berkeley is the engine. It is the thing that makes it. It is the engine of popular music, and We just elected a new president of the Berklee College of Music, a fellow named Roger Brown, and he's going to be a remarkable force for us in the next 10 years. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I think you're a very funny guy, Livingston. People can't tell right now in this interview, but even in his bio, where he has his vital signs, his cholesterol levels in there, and the name of your plane is Bertha. I mean, you're a pretty funny guy.
The fact that people are bemused in my presence is, for some, might be a source of worry, but for me, is a source of delight.
Now, for folks out there who want to purchase some of his stuff, I actually found two different sites. There's LivingstonTaylor.com and LivTaylor.com.
Well, LivingstonTaylor.com. LivTaylor.com is my sort of official website, and LivTaylor.com knows all.
So we'll recommend LivTaylor.com then.
Yeah.
And L-I-V Taylor, TaylorR.com. And they can order most of your CDs, I think, through there as well.
You bet they can.
Yeah, and my favorite, of course, is Still Over the Rainbow.
Oh, that's so nice, Mark.
You know, one of the things, you were on a major label earlier, and you've been on Epic and Capricorn and stuff like that. How much more freedom is it for you to be on a smaller label like Whistling Dog, for instance?
Well, Whistling Dog is my label that I use to do some projects. Right now, I'm just finishing up a brand new record, a brand new album down in Nashville which has been an absolute joy to make. And that's a project that I'm using I had Take Six, the great a cappella group, play with me. And just the other day, I recorded with Ricky Skaggs and scheduled our Alison Krauss and some other wonderful artists on all these new songs I've been writing over the last 2 years. I've been in a remarkably prolific period.
Now, when is that going to be coming out, you know?
It should be early next year, but again, LivTaylor.com will know all.
We'll have we'll have you on when it comes out.
And
in the meanwhile, folks, go out and buy Carolina Day. It's a CD from Razor and Tie with all his major hits. Just great CD.
Excellent.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for your time, and we'll speak soon.
And good luck again for folks out there who want to see him at the Apple and Eve 2004 Newport Folk Festival Talent Search. It's August 5th at Fort Adams Park in Newport, Rhode Island. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thanks, Mark. See you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye.